Gary Rogers and I are going to discuss agent-to-agent referrals.
Monica, it's a great topic that is a big part of my business plan. It's revenue for your bottom line. You're servicing your client. And, you know, it's just such an underutilized source of business. I'm thrilled to be talking about it.
Welcome to the National Association of Realtors Center for Realtor Development podcast, the show that brings you on-the-go learning for today's top real estate topics with your host, Monica Neubauer. To get more information about the courses and credentials discussed here, visit our site at www.onlinelearning.realtor and use the coupon code PODCAST, P-O-D-C-A-S-T, to obtain 15% off the price of any online class. And now on to the show.
Welcome to the Center for Realtor Development podcast, the podcast for realtors all about real estate. I'm Monica Neubauer, your host. When you have a friend or a client moving to another city, do you think to help them get an agent in that city? How nice for them to move to a new city with an agent introduction and a good plan. And if you can introduce your client to a highly qualified agent in another city, wouldn't you love that? Let's get them with an awesome agent. And on top of that, you can negotiate a referral fee that would be paid to you at closing. And if you already do that, let me ask you this. Have you taken it to a more active and more intentional role of giving and seeking referrals in other situations? Gary Rogers from Waltham, Massachusetts, a suburb of Boston, is very intentional about networking with the goal of giving and receiving referrals. He's helping clients and adding this as a revenue stream as well. And he's so intentional about it that he puts it into his business plan each year. And he has got some great advice on how to be a great resource all over the country in realtor referrals. Gary Rogers has been a realtor for over 30 years. And during that time, he has served in various roles in the association, including as state president, NAR RVP, and NAR director. In 2018, he chaired the meeting and conference committee and is currently serving as a director on the Realtor Relief Foundation. 2021 NAR Director, and he will be the chair of the 2022 NAR Leadership Academy. He was the 2005 Realtor of the Year for his state and has been awarded Distinguished Service Awards by both his local board, GBAR, as well as the Massachusetts Association of Realtors. Gary is the broker owner of RE/MAX on the Charles in Waltham, Massachusetts. Let's get that good information from Gary.
Gary Rogers, welcome to the Center for Realtor Development podcast.
Hey, Monica, how are you?
I am great. I am so excited about our topic. This is kind of something that, gosh, we need to be talking about this. You recently taught this at the NAR annual, and people really responded well to it, didn't they?
They really did. You know, it's something that, you know, we love referrals, but it seems like we don't really focus a lot of energy in generating both outgoing and incoming referrals.
It's totally true. And when we spend months or years working with our clients, you've been this realtor for life for a long time for your client, and they move to another town, we have an amazing relationship with them. They move away and we want to know that they have an amazing agent, just like yourself, myself, in the location that they're going to, or, you know, maybe somebody's family member's coming from. And I always want to help my clients know that they have a really fantastic agent. And they may not be like me in personality, so we need to prep them, but they are somebody that we know that we've spent time getting to know, or we will spend some time chatting with them. So we know they're going to be educated, professional, and skilled. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell me about your overview process for finding agents and why do you do this? Why is this important to you?
Well, you know, it goes back to, I think it was Howard Brenton that said a long time ago that every client is worth X amount of dollars over the course of an average realtor's career, which we know we just get tired, not retire. And so right. I was kind of, when I was doing my numbers one year and I broke out my income revenue on outgoing and incoming referrals, I realized that that is one way when somebody is in their forever home to maximize that relationship and start thinking about where they want to retire or where they want a second home, or do they have any friends or family, and kind of look at referrals as a true business source of revenue, not just the occasional listing or buyer. And at that point, you know, it became part of my business plan, almost a separate business plan.
Of the agent to agent referrals.
Yes. So the first step in trying to figure out the best way to do this, not necessarily efficient, but definitely effective, is really listen to the clients that are thinking about moving and figure out what they need, and then trying to find an agent that matches them up. One quick example is I had a client who was moving to South Carolina, I believe it was, and they happened to be a dog breeder, very nice woman, making a big move, taking two of her dogs with her.
Yeah.
And I found an agent through, at the time, a company profile that showed hobbies of the agents. And lo and behold, there was one of them that had a lot of experience and was a dog breeder.
Wow.
And so it was a match made in heaven. I got the best note back from the client saying, you picked the perfect agent for me. And they've now referred friends that still live here to me.
Wow. That's really great. And I love that, you know, when I talk to agents and I talk to them about making their profile online complete, don't just say, oh, I live in this part of the country and I serve these markets and I've been in for 17 years, yada, yada. When people talk about their hobbies, whether it be working with animals or riding motorcycles, some of the hobbies that people have are really serious connectors for people. And that can show up. And I love to see the education. You know, we'll probably talk about that some more too, but when people are getting designations, I want to see that on their profile as well. I want to see that commitment to improving their business that way.
Yeah. I mean, the number one thing that really bugs me is that we have all these free profiles, whether it's a designation, you know, whether it's a Women's Council of Realtors profile in their roster or RRC, CRS, or your company profiles. If you can go in there and block out the names and read five of them and you can't tell the difference, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and what do we look for when we network or we're looking for an agent? We're looking for some commonality either between us or, more importantly, between the receiving agent and the client. People want to work with other people that are interesting. Tell them a little bit about yourself. And it will go a long way.
Yep. All right. So how do you meet these agents? I mean, some of them you're going to find on the internet. Let's talk about how do we meet these agents and how do we find them?
Sure.
So y'all listen to how we're looking for this. We're going to give you some great tips to how to be prepared to be an agent someone wants to refer to. Go ahead, Gary.
Right. You know, if you have a client, that you referred, I'm willing to bet that you had the same problems that I always have. You Google them, you pull up their consumer website, I give the best service, but it's gotten a lot harder to tell people apart. And you want to make sure somebody, and also geography. You know, when I say I'm out of Boston, Massachusetts, it's a defensive move because I don't work in Boston, I work around Boston, but if I name the name of my town, it's not going to be relevant to somebody that's moving to the Boston area.
Totally. We do have to hang our hat a little bit on our metro area that's near us.
That's yeah. Right. You do have to, it's not deceptive. It's informative to be a little vague about where you cover. Now it can be abused and somebody might want to try to get all the referrals for 2 hours away, but I haven't found that. So the first thing I do now, of course, is ask friends that are in that state or area that I've already know from networking and being involved with NAR and so forth. And it's going to be just like a consumer does. It's a word of mouth thing. I will trust their opinion. And some of the best referrals I've made have worked out phenomenally well because if I'm friends with somebody in another state, we have a commonality and I'm by extension, two degrees separation,
right.
I will trust their opinion as well.
Well, and that's, so you're talking about people you've been involved with NAR, you're involved with Leadership Academy, you have designations. So you've been networking, like you say, with the RRC or Women's Council or the Senior Real Estate Specialist. And I know you're going to tell us one way you like to meet agents too, about when you travel for classes, we'll talk about that. But, you know, so when we meet people, that's a great source because now we have relationship with those agents and we know that they're committed to the industry and we've learned some things about them as well. So that's always, I think, the best way when we can.
And now I think it's become a lot easier because, you know, even if you're an introvert, you become an extrovert the minute you put your realtor hat on.
Yeah.
And there's so many people out there in all of the Facebook different groups, whether it's a mastermind group or the NAR Facebook group or whatever it is, slice and dice it, you're probably in about 10 groups. Yep. And so I also pay attention when I have somebody contemplating a move, and I watch who's in the group and I listen to what they have to say, and boy, they're really smart and they're contributing. And I want to reward that. There's even an unofficial, and again, very clearly unofficial group. It's not associated with NAR, but there's a Facebook group. If you're a major investor, you get invited. And if you don't know about it, let me, we'll get you in there. And every single day people are saying, hey, I need a super agent in, you know, Rockville, Maryland. And people will recommend 6 or 7 people. Gets a little crazy, but it is effective, and it's a commonality, right? There's somebody else that is invested in the industry just like you. I want to support them as much as I hope to be supported.
Right. In those groups, I'm very glad to put names in myself, even if I'm not going to be the one who gets the referral fee, they're not going to work through me. I'm always glad to put those agents' names up because I want the public to have excellent agents. That's important to me, that the consumer get good service. And if I can recommend amazing agents, you know, in those groups, I love to do that. I'm always thrilled to do that.
Yeah, you know, and I'm happy to recommend people that I know are going to do a great job and trust that they will take the referral properly if they don't cover the area or not. And I will be their raving fan.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make them successful. That's what I love about this business. That if you really do think about how we're supposed to help each other, what better way than drive referrals back and forth?
Oh, well, very much so. Because then I can say, oh, I have this referral source in Denver or in Florida. And you can maybe even give repeat business because you know they've done an amazing job. So
exactly.
Totally. All right. So when you're considering them for the referral, we've talked about a few things. What kind of criteria and what kind of process do you have? What are you looking for?
Yeah, it's very consumer driven for me. I mean, I don't have a very static, you know, requirement checklist. I really just pick up the phone.
Yeah.
If I know the client or the person is being referred, oh, here's another thing. If it's not one of my past clients or sphere or somebody that I know, maybe it's a friend of theirs, I will call them up and chit chat with them and find out what's important to them first and foremost. Just like any buyer, I want to qualify that person. If they're just contemplating a move and they're going to be out in Washington and they just want to check out some houses, then at least if I do place the referral, which I will, but I want to be very open and transparent on the expectations of what that is. You know, I don't want to send them 3 people that just go out tourist and sightseeing and waste their time.
Yep.
They can make the decision if they want to kind of farm that a little bit and you know, put as much effort or as little effort as they need to do to keep in touch with them. So it really starts with qualifying every single buyer and seller we do. We qualify. Why aren't we doing that, sending referrals? We just whip out the form or send an email and it's done. There's another benefit of doing that. I've swear that this works, but when I take the time to interview the person, even if it's somebody I really know well, I don't know why they're moving or whatever. If you take those 20 or 30 minutes and go down, make a list of what's important to them, whether it's a commuting time, where they're going to be working exactly, you know, what's important to them for recreation, what is culturally, museums, school, whatever it is, just get a lifestyle profile. They love that because I've sent a referral and for some whatever reason, the agent and the buyer just weren't clicking. If buyers aren't clicking with that, you won't know unless you do 2 things. One, you've qualified them and said, I want to know how it's going.
Right.
Or 2, checking in with the agent. Hopefully you don't have to pick up the phone. The agent keeps you updated, which I was guilty as heck. And once in a while, I do forget to check in with that referral if it's a long, long time span. But they don't just, if they want to get rid of that agent, they're kind of sheepish. They're not going to call me back for another referral.
Yeah.
I already screwed up, right?
Right.
They're going to slink off and go to an open house and buy a house and nobody will ever, it'll be the black hole.
Yeah.
I'll never see them again. And I'm certainly not going to be asked to refer anybody else, whether it's for them or their friends or family. So I think it absolutely treat it with the importance that it deserves and show that they're important to you.
And even possibly, I you know, you can even let them know how well you know or don't know that agent and say, if you don't feel like this is the right agent for you, let me know. I mean, I'm going to talk to them and I think they're quality. But sometimes even if you're referring someone to a quality agent, there could be a personality mismatch or, like you say, like you were saying at the beginning, you know, you tell people you're in Boston and we cling to those areas, but once they get out there, they may find that they're actually on the opposite end of a suburb and really don't know the area that well, yada, yada, yada. So you're just talking about setting good expectations, which we talk about in so many contexts because that's it. It's huge. It's relationship and good expectations, right?
Absolutely. Even to the point where I even asked them, look, if you're happy with the agent I've referred you, I'd love to have a couple lines in an email afterwards telling me about your experience and whether it was a good referral or not. And that builds up a different kind of testimonial stack that you can use in all of your marketing.
True. Yeah. When you do the referring. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit too, how we kind of market our referring a little bit. Well, sometimes we are looking for agents, and this has been happening a lot now in Tennessee anyway. People are looking for agents in these little tiny markets, not necessarily in the more urban, suburban areas. And some of those agents, we may not be as well connected with them. Do you have any different process when you're kind of hunting in a new area like that or any other tips?
Yeah, and a good example is that is I sent a referral a few years ago to Vermont. I may get this wrong, but I believe there's 1,900 realtors in the entire state. So they cover vast areas.
Right.
And that simply goes back to picking up the phone and talking to them. I don't have the luxury of, you know, are they the same designee? Are they the same company? You know, a lot of people look at company lines and supporting your company and all that, which is important, but it's not as important, obviously, as getting the right agent. I want to make sure that the revenue comes in, that more importantly, the client's happy. But it really does come down to we're a people business and it's picking up the phone and talking to that agent and making clear that, hey, they're interested in this area, but they may be interested in that. Are you comfortable? And we find those rural areas, of course, they are used to driving. They have to cover a substantial distance to make a living.
Right.
But also the amount of business is going to be a lot less. So it supports less agents. So I think it's simple strategy. I don't think there's any tricks.
Right. Well, and I recently needed a pretty rural referral for a friend of mine and did a little bit of research through my normal. I often, if I don't know an agent, I'll look through the designation portals, relative to what they want, you know, Women's Council, CRS, and SRES, the Senior Real Estate Specialist is a big one, ABR. So I'll look through those portals and, you know, just to see who's got an education, who might be in that area. So I called up the lady and she was definitely in the vicinity. And like you said, they do tend to drive far sometimes. Well, I was talking to her and she said, oh, well, my little town is like this. And the little town that you're talking about, I know it's really a different market from what I do. So I'm not the right agent. She said, but you need to call so-and-so. So it was the rabbit trail of just get started looking for people and start talking to people. And the agent she got me to is a great agent. They haven't done the deal yet, but I had a great conversation with her. My client's been very pleased with her so far. And it just doing that, getting to know people, having the trail, having the conversation, it'll get you there eventually if we do the things you were just saying.
Right. And the one thing I will say that you know, if you're not used to rural areas and you come, you know, I'm a suburb, but we're kind of an urban area, is why they're moving out there. And then lo and behold, I had one that said, well, I want a big piece of land and I'm interested in a farm. Well, that's a whole different animal.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a whole different specialty. It's very much like, there'll be an upcoming, education on it over the next year. Most likely it came out of one of the capstone projects in the NAR's Leadership Academy this past year, is learning how to send a proper commercial referral.
Ah,
because as you know, that's a whole different animal, you know, whether they're retail, office, warehouse, land, industrial. And I got burnt a few times sending an improper referral to somebody that thought they could handle it. And what happened? The client wasn't happy. I didn't get paid, you know. It was just a waste of time.
Right.
So that's another form that's going to be coming up in the future, but it illustrates the point about understanding, getting the right agent with the right expertise, whether it's residential or land or farm or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
That's when qualifying that person comes in handy. You're not going to be unequipped. You're going to know what is expected of the next agent.
That is just such a great reminder. I mean, yes, if you need land, do Realtor Land Institute. Those people's training is amazing. And the things they know and get trained on is fantastic. Yeah, so many. And so important about the commercial, because I often founder with that too. Either somebody will say, hey, you know, I need a commercial agent referral. And that's something we want to talk about on the podcast eventually, is a little bit of what if I want to move over into commercial? What's kind of the easy low hanging fruit for residential agents, you know, like office condos or something. But, you know, some of this stuff is just a whole different animal. And I love that you said that, and y'all are working on a project. Yay.
We are. And it's not out yet, so I can't say too much about it, but I'm very excited about it. It was a brilliant project. Because every factory owner owns a house.
Yep.
And they've dealt with a residential realtor. Yep. Most likely, right?
Yep.
And so learning how to ask for referrals, even in that instance, you know, whether it's residential or commercial, and you happen to know your client, you know, is a decision maker at a company of some kind, why not mention it? And again, stay tuned. I think it's going to be a very exciting piece in our education picture. Maybe you do want to get into it, and this might be a way to do it, but more importantly, full service to the client who happens to own a building.
Well, what you're saying, I'm seeing this kind of like residential real estate agents build their vendor list, right? We have our list of people who we like to recommend for the HVAC units, our furnace, our plumbing, et cetera. Well, this referral list is also an excellent thing that we need to be building because a lot of the referrals are local. Let's just go into that. You know, I know that's something that you like to talk about, is where do we find the referrals? Sometimes they're across the country, but sometimes they're not. So where do you see some great local referral opportunities?
When somebody came into that session, you know, in San Diego, they said to me, you know, how do you find all these referrals, you know, sending and receiving nationally? And I said, well, you know, there's not a lot of movement nationally. You can track it on census.gov and find out the trends in and out of your area. And that's great. You may get 2-3 referrals by digging down deep. It takes a lot of work. But the gold mine, the really productive return on your time and effort, is that concentric circle closer into your market.
Yeah.
For us, it's about 1 to 2 hours out that people are moving in and out of, a higher percentage than somebody moving out of state.
Right.
New England especially. And I'm sure this holds with every, you know, kind of metro urban area, because it's such a stretch. And then with COVID, people are moving out further too.
Right.
So there's a lot more referrals in your backyard. A absolute must is second homes. You know, I happen to be just west of Boston. Myself, my family, all of my neighbors, 3/4 of my neighbors have places or vacation on Cape Cod. And you can be door to door in 90 minutes to mid Cape. It's about 1 hour to Cape Cod, but where we stay is about mid Cape. And, you know, asking your clients, have you thought about buying a weekend home or a retirement home? I know a person, I know a great realtor.
Yeah.
So you have to reverse engineer that and start looking at, you know, maybe for us, it could be New Hampshire, it could be the Berkshires, it could be Cape Cod, it could be the North Shore beaches. It may not even be that far. But understanding people's needs and what they might want, ask them. We don't ask them enough. You know, I send out a message twice a year reminding people, if they're thinking about buying or even renting or spending the summer someplace, let me know. I can probably help you.
Yeah.
And it turns into a referral. Conversely, when you have agents in those other vacation markets, you may not pick up that your client is looking up there. And all of a sudden they show up at a doorstep at an open house on a beach house, you know, down in Cape Cod, and they want to make this their permanent home. That agent knows that. they, you know, oh, you're moving to the Cape. I know a guy.
Yeah.
I know a great agent up in Waltham, Massachusetts. Where do you live? And so it's a two-way street. So establishing some footholds with some strong agents there that you have already qualified, already get to know, hopefully you've networked with them. I'm a big fan of secondary memberships.
Because you mean MLS? MLS memberships?
Not MLS, association? No, the association. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
so the
ahead.
Local boards.
Yep.
Yeah. So I know plenty of agents that do that. They are secondary members in New Hampshire and they're licensed in New Hampshire as well. So they can kind of cross that barrier. So second home markets are really important. Everybody vacations, it's just where and how.
Well, right. Exactly right. And I think about in our area, you know, it's kind of funny. I've lived in Franklin most of my life. I'm a rare bird that's a native of the area. And, you know, Franklin, Tennessee goes to the Gulf Coast to vacation, the Gulf Coast. Now, a lot of those houses are owned by folks in Alabama, but a lot of folks in Middle Tennessee are buying. So it used to be we would go to the Gulf Shore of Alabama. Then they went to Florida. Now they go to 38. I mean, they just kind of move around there. So having a group of agents along there, and it's not 90 minutes. You know, one of the things that I see the challenge of the 90 minutes is that some agents are going to be tempted to want to go work those areas themselves because it's really not that far and they may know it. And even the client may want you involved. It still is worth having a local agent on the ground with you. If you're going to be involved, it's still important to have that other agent, maybe because you don't have access to their MLS for a start. So you're not necessarily getting offered the compensation for the transaction. The other thing is, even if they want you involved, great, you can be involved. You've got some kind of a referral fee negotiated. It's kind of like a cooperative deal anyway. You can still be involved. And that's so much better if you're friends with the other agent, as you were saying, the better relationships you have, the more you can work together. And that 90-minute drive on the traffic, you know, if they're going out there on Friday afternoon, all of a sudden it's 2.5 hours and maybe we don't want to be doing that. People think they can bite off more than they bite off more than they can chew sometimes. And even if it's close, it's probably not the best.
Right. And you know, it is tempting when it's that close and you know, you're all in the same state association in some cases. New England, we're small, so that's easy to say. You can drive anywhere in 3 hours. But, but you know, it comes down to our code of ethics and expertise. You know, once upon a time, we were pretty religious about sending referrals that we didn't know the market. And you know, this market might be really good if you have a listing and you know it's a slam dunk, but there's going to be a time when maybe we're not doing the right thing. You're not an expert in that market. I've spent a lot of time in the Cape. My dad still lives on the Cape. My wife's family was there for 50 years. We've spent so much time down there, but I might know my way driving around, but I certainly don't know my way selling around.
Yeah.
And so, sometimes you have to think about it a little bit before you get tempted. You're also cutting yourself off from future referrals. Let's face it, some of those secondary markets are territorial. When you see an outside agent listing in your area, you know, you're not going to refer them because they're taking some business that maybe you could have referred to them.
Right. Yeah. If you're not cooperative, they're not likely going to be cooperative either.
Right. And if there's one referral, there's more.
Yeah.
They don't travel in singles.
Right.
they travel in packs. Yeah.
You totally do.
Because
totally
all of a sudden the neighbor says, oh my God, you have a gorgeous place there and I want one too.
Yeah.
You know, so be cautious, you know, be businesslike.
Yes. And be respectful. You know, just think about the consequences, the business. There's lots of people in this business and there's lots of people buying and selling houses, but sometimes it's still a small market and it's still a small world. And we want to always be respectful and cooperative. And as you've said at the very beginning, we want to have the best situation for our clients. And more often than not, that's a referral.
Yeah. And on that topic, if I could, Monica, I want to talk about that when agents come into your market and, you know, there are a lot of locals that kind of get their backs up, you know, and say, oh, you know, you're an hour away. Why, you know, they don't know what they're doing. And I take the opposite approach. You know, you don't know why that person listed with them. There are agents that are hungry, or they're not may necessarily need the business, but they may be a family member, they may be whatever. Yeah.
Or they may be a past client and the agent moved or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, I really feel like taking the high road on that is a good moral thing, an ethical thing, but it's also a good business thing. So if somebody's listing in my market, they're not getting a lot of love usually from maybe some of the locals, but right. Because they know it's going to sell. And I, you know, the market's slowing down a little here. So we're starting to see broker open houses and things. But I'll pick up the phone if I kind of recognize their name or feel like there may be a, you know, a business relationship there. And I'll call them up and congratulate them and say, look, I think the price is good, or I expect you to sell it quick, or gee, the broker open houses are on Friday. The best time is 10:30 to 1. Here's the name of a Chinese food place that I love. And they'll deliver to the open house and set up for you. Tell them I sent you. They'll take good care of you. You know, and then, you know, why be adversarial? And you know, you may have an offer on it. You know, so
absolutely.
Why you know, but the big aha moment was when they said that they were mobbed at an open house that sold right away. And it dawned on me, and I'm like, well, what did you do with the sign-in sheet? And they're like, well, you know, it's too far away for me to do it. I'm like, well, wait a minute. That's a trash barrel referral.
A trash barrel referral.
Right. I made that up.
Okay. Hey, I think that's great. So go ahead. But elaborate.
Come on, let's be honest with ourselves. You know, there is a point where, you know, newer people might be hungrier, but experienced people should be just as hungry and diligent. And if you're collecting names, not pushing hard, but doing, you know, an average job of just collecting who comes into the house and some contact information, and maybe developing a little bit of a discussion with them about what they're looking for. The next thing out of their mouth, if that agent doesn't want to take the time to take on a buyer in a very competitive market, they may show eight offers before they get one. So deriving an hour each way, it's going in the trash barrel, I promise you.
Yes.
They are not reaching out to them.
Right.
So by prepping them, saying, listen, at your open house, take note of who's coming in. And if you don't want to service them, if they're not low-hanging fruit, I'm happy to work them. I'm here. I'm local. I know the market inside and out. I'll sign a mass referral form of all your names, yep, guaranteeing a referral fee, and I'll report back at you.
Yeah.
And it is amazing. Like all of a sudden, like, you know, initially they're like, oh, this is a trick. You know, what are you doing? And, you know, like, I don't know. You know, maybe I'll call those people. Maybe they'll buy in the first house. And, you know, but the bottom line is I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I'm servicing the open house because 80% of them already, 90% already have realtors.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it to make the listing more accessible because maybe their broker hasn't shown it.
Right.
Or can't show it.
Yeah.
So I'm doing my job more for the seller. But if I do pick up somebody that, you know, is a buyer and I'm not motivated to do it, I have not been pushing to get some information or contact information or find out if I can help them at all. Shame on me.
Yeah. Again, let's go back to the goal of we want everybody to have an amazing agent. And if we're not going to be their amazing agent, let's get them to an amazing agent. You know, that's one of the bottom lines
of
that.
Does it hurt to be nice to another agent for 20 minutes? Is it that painful?
Oh, my favorite thing is being nice to other agents because I'm going to be working with them. I want to have good relationships with other agents. So I love that tip. I think that's fantastic.
Yep. And you know, again, company, if you're in a certain company and it's a regional company or whatever, obviously you're not going to ask somebody of a competing company or whatever for it. That's kind of silly.
Right.
But at least make the effort if they're an independent or the same brand. And, you know, because a lot of managers get bent up and, you know, I understand why, but still there's a service available to a client that may not have a professional helping them, and it's a revenue source. And you didn't waste your time doing that open house.
Well, and when you call them and talk to them about that concept, not only are you making yourself available as a local resource for a referral, you know, if their company is a little bit bigger and they do have other offices in the area and they don't feel like they can give it to you for that reason, you've at least given them that idea to maybe pass on to somebody in their office. So you've still shared wisdom and professionalism into the marketplace, which that's valuable right there.
And so a few years ago, I did exactly that with an agent. She was very happy to with the idea because she felt guilty not following up.
Yep.
And lo and behold, everything happens in twos or more. A neighbor who was good friends with that seller called her to list a property. And at that point, she was getting so busy, she ended up referring me that listing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
So taking the high road, being businesslike, pays off all the time.
Yep, it does. Okay, have you ever had a client? I mean, you mentioned earlier, if the client doesn't like the agent that you chose for them, what do we do in that situation when they don't like them, it was a bad fit, and then they run off and pick somebody else? Do you ever give people two or three names, or what do you think about that kind of situation?
I never give more than one name. I feel like a referral should be a personal recommendation for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to live and die with it. That's my own idea. I'm not a fan, you know, if I get a referral and they're also talking to two other agents in the area, I get that, but I'm paying a fee for the idea that it's not just a name.
Yeah.
Like, you've qualified it. I'm the right person for it. I'll accept it, but I'm not thrilled about it. And then I'll interview the buyer one time. I'm not going to take them out and then have them, you know, they have to commit.
Right.
I don't mind being interviewed at all.
Yeah.
They have to commit.
Right.
I rather put my eggs all in one basket. If I've done my homework, if I'm keeping the communications open, I think it looks much, much more professional to the consumer, to the buyer or seller. But again, I mean, it's not the way I do it, but I will accept the referral and I'll meet with the buyer. I'll have a buyer consult for 45 minutes in my office.
Yep.
Or Zoom or whatever, if they're reloading in or whatever, and explain how I work. I explain that they're going to have to pick one of us.
Yeah.
And I wish you luck. If it's not me, that's okay too.
Yeah.
So, and if it's not a good fit, I'm the first one to go back to the other agent and say, I don't think it's a good fit. That just happened 2 months ago. Somebody relocating from a very large distance wanted video, me to go in and video every single listing that they were interested in, even though they really couldn't come out to buy it. And we don't do iBuyers so much. This guy's moving a family, young family, and wanted me to make the decision about whether it was worth flying out there in time before offers were due on Monday. I can't do it. You know, the time involved of going in and videoing every single, you know, six or eight houses because they're looking in a big area is beyond my bandwidth. And so I called the agent first to make sure that they understood. And then I offered to either call the client and explain that I wasn't a good fit or have the agent do it. And in this case, the agent, smartly, they did it.
Yeah.
So they're maintaining, showing how much they care and how important that client is. I wasn't a good match.
Well,
they did find somebody that was willing to do that. It just wasn't the way I work.
Well, and that's an important concept is if you're not the right person, it is important to call back the agent and let them know what's happening. I mean, that's the good reference back. Cause I also had a referral recently that I was not the right agent either. I met with the seller and I genuinely was not the best person to help them because of the timing and certain things that they need. I was going to be traveling a lot. And so I called the other agent back, got them involved in it first. And I did want to say something to the seller since I had met with them, but I made sure that the other agent had connected back with them and talked with them. And, you know, I wanted to honor that agent's relationship and give them the chance to get another referral, you know, to get another good agent in, not just, you know, walk away from it and treat it.
Right.
I don't want to treat that, you know, a referral to me is a gift. If it doesn't work out, I want to make sure that I handle it well with the other agent.
Right. And there's another twist on focusing on referrals. And it's, you know, we don't call them new agents anymore. We call early career, right? That's more respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody could be early career and have 10 years logged in, but maybe they've been part-time and they really haven't dove in. But I feel like anything that's marked early career is good for all of us because it brings us back to if we were starting over, mm-hmm. what would we do to generate business, right? So that's a sidebar discussion. But early career agents, newer agents, really should be reaching out to trying to get referrals. And the reason why is this: as important as it is, I want somebody that may have a lot of experience, I just want to make sure they're competent. If even if they're newer and I speak to them and I get a feel like, geez, I love their personality, they're energetic, they're hungry, they want to please the client. I just really like that person, but from the conversation, I can tell they're going to handle it professionally. If they don't know the answer, they'll find out the answer, right?
Yep.
So I can't encourage early career people enough to start thinking about, and there's so many ways that we can't possibly cover here, but I know we're going to cover a little bit on some of the how to market yourself in a little bit, but it's so important because I rather refer to somebody that's a year or two in the business that I like, they're professional, they're doing it by the numbers, maybe they're working on their ABR or, you know, which is important for early career. They are going to get my recommendation. They're going to get that referral.
Yeah.
And it's more about who they are, not how long they've been doing it, because we know that the length of time doesn't matter.
No. And it's about training and keeping up with the changes. Are they enthusiastic? Are they continuing to learn and grow? Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to put a plug in as an example of that.
Okay.
I'm going to plug an agent that I just met about 6 or 8 months ago. And it's the weirdest thing. I went on TikTok. Somebody said, you got to see, you know, TikTok and all the real estate people on it. And this agent in Maryland, Lauren Matera, M-A-T-E-R-A, she's killing it on TikTok. She's been an agent only a year. And she shows her personality. Her handle is It's That Real Estate Chick on TikTok.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. She's got 350,000 followers already.
Wow.
And she's getting agent referrals. And she says right off the bat, I've been an agent in a year. But she is so dynamic and energetic that if I ever have a referral for her area or somebody asks me, it's there.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan because she's very personable. She's a little edgy. She's exactly what some of my clients would love. You know, my boomers may not.
Well, right.
You know, but again, that goes to the matching. But the point is, she's been an agent for just over a year. She's doing really well.
Yeah.
And she talks like she's a 20-year veteran. Like she knows her stuff.
Well, and some of them bring in such great creative things too. So they're going to market properties creatively. They're not going to just sit on their hands and go, oh, it'll sell. They make something creative. They're out there fighting to get the best price for their client. And I love that creativity with some of the.
But and the point is though, that's somebody that, you know, I'm a 32-year veteran in this. I'm not referring to 32-year veterans just because they're in the survivor mode like me, you know, they've been able, you know, but the point is that when you bump into people that you like and know they're going to do a great job, it's not always about experience is the point. It's a good early career thought process. It's more important about the person than their resume.
Yes, I agree. Thank you. All right. Let's talk about what you just mentioned, marketing ourselves and getting our name out there. Let's start with your story about traveling for classes and how you meet agents that way.
One of my favorite stories, and I can't wait to be able to travel again. I was noticing a trend from the Boston area. A couple of large financial institutions were moving to the Triangle, Raleigh, Cary, North Carolina. And I had already taken the CRS 210, Chuck Bode's exceptional service for exceptional referrals, ironically. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Right. So I had some miles saved up and some hotel, and I'm like, I'm taking that class because I want to. What's happening is I'm seeing some of my clients, past clients who work for those institutions. All of a sudden, their house is listed and they're calling me apologizing. And what has happened was happening was they were going down there for the interviews to see if they're going to take the relocation. The second thing they did was get in the car of a realtor to drive themselves around and see what their money can buy in that market. They, you know, because nobody takes a job for just the job. They want to make sure the lifestyle is there. Well, it was popping up saying, well, Gary, you know, my company recommended this agent, so I thought I had to go with it. Well, I work relocation. That is not an absolute. You don't have to use that agent. You can insist, you know, I'm going to be paying a fee to that referral company, but I know from experience that you have a say. So I wanted to get further down upstream, fish upstream.
Yes, and I went ahead down of the challenge. Yep.
Right. I went down and made 152 new best friends. And Chuck Bode was a sweetheart. He let me stand up. He said, this guy came from Massachusetts just to meet you. And so that goes a long way if you do travel and take a course. talk to the instructor. They're gonna love you coming in from a distance instead of that little area.
Right.
So long story short, I stood up and I said, when that person comes down for the interview, they haven't talked to me or anybody else back home listing. They don't know if they're taking the job. When you're driving them around, ask them if they have a realtor that they know. And regardless of what the answer is, you need to say, I met a guy. I had lunch with this agent and he's really great. He covers Metro West Boston. I never give a town. And at least talk to him and interview him. You don't have to go with the relocation recommendation. Sometimes, frankly, they're the newest agent that are paying a big chunk referral fee in-house. And so, you know, it should be a consumer choice on experience level. And I ended up with 5 closed listing leads within 18 months.
Wow.
From that one trip.
Yep.
We used to have a relocation report at NAR. We don't do it now. We don't really need it now because census.gov will do it. And it will tell you the top 100 places people are moving into your area from.
Yes.
And 100 places that they are moving out to. So I confirm that with that in conjunction with this trip. And lo and behold, that area was blowing up with people moving in and out to the Boston area. You know, It's industry based. It's a great story. I'm not sure if it would be repeated and I'd get the same results. It could be a one-off, but it's the point about making the effort to go to the source. Just like I said, talking about second home markets, there's a two-way street and referrals there. It's the same thing with moving trends. And In fact, I haven't done it yet. I do it once a year. I'm going back to see what the trends are in my market of where people are moving with COVID affecting those trends. Yep. I'm a little out of sorts. I can talk to the agents in my office and figure out where their people are moving. But this is actual data that's collected from the IRS, actually, because the zip codes of your tax filings is how they chart it. So if it holds true from last year, it used to be that people were only moving an hour away from Boston to the suburb. But I think they're now moving further out. So I want to know where that trend is. And I want to market myself to it.
Because you might need to get some new referral agents in those areas where they're moving to.
Yep. And So how do we market ourselves? How do we make ourselves easier to find? If Monica is going to send a referral to somewhere in Boston and she kind of knows some people.
Yep.
I have a new one up now, thank God. The old one's getting old and kind of dusty. But refergary.com. So let's say you have refermonica.com.
Yep.
And every profile that you put out, company, designation, whatever, you put refermonica.com. That website should be geared to other agents about what they want to know about you or get to know you as a person. And I've seen every variation. One really great website, it's one of the recent Leadership Academy graduates, Refer Cindy. It's CYNDEE.com. She's in Madeira Beach, Florida. And you open up her website and she has a fabulous video talking about all the great things in her area there is to do and the recreation and how beautiful it is. I want to move there. So honest to gosh, right?
Yeah.
So what has she done by doing that? She didn't do a resume. She didn't say, oh, I've done this and I've won this award. No, she was speaking clearly about market knowledge and the enthusiasm about the area. Who the heck am I going to send a referral to if a client wants to move there? It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, so totally.
There's another one, MassachusettsReferrals.com, that a friend of mine, Steve Medeiros, had put together that is amazing as well. And he even offers, hey, this is the area I cover. If you need another agent in Massachusetts, call me and I'll tell you who you should use. So he's providing a great service too. So, And then lastly, you need a place to put that website, and you need a business card that is for other agents.
Before you talk about the business cards, because I want to do that. All these other little websites, these are fantastic ideas of us connecting people, because if we put some SEO behind there, people are going to be searching in that area and we can create these better situations. We can market ourselves on our email signature. We're going to talk about business cards specifically in a few minutes. this is a real mindset. You want to get, this is a term we can get people thinking about that. And we should be marketing that on our own website, on these special websites saying, I know people, I can help you get an amazing agent. We should be very proactive about that. Not just refer to me, but I can help you refer in other areas as well.
Yep. You know, I hate to say the phrase, we're all in this together, but can you imagine if we all took that very seriously? And let's go back from the beginning of our conversation. How do I find agents in certain areas if I don't know anybody?
Yep.
Well, I'm going to Google them. And what comes up? It comes up their consumer website. I'm a multi-million dollar producer. I give the best service, blah, 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 blah. You look like everybody else. But what if Refer Monica came up and said, hey, agent, here's the information that you're probably going to ask me.
Yeah.
Do I know the market? Am I experienced? What do we have in common? What hobbies? You know,
yeah.
I like antique, you know, classic cars. I have Labradors, do a little bit of skydiving. You know, I want to be more interesting than I am.
Yeah.
I want to say, here I am.
Yes.
And so you're absolutely right. It's a whole new world where we're marketing to, really, truly marketing to other agents, not just slapping our name somewhere and say, I love referrals. That's great. Don't we all? Tell us something we don't know. So that's an awesome point.
Yeah. Well, even marketing to your consumer base. What if you put that in your e-newsletter that you can help them or their family members find an agent anywhere in the country?
Yep. And how about something simple like Facebook ads that are targeted to those second home markets? Yes.
Yep.
You know, to me, it's very exciting. The prospects that you will get as much out of it as you want to invest in it. And I think it's a whole new attitude when we're building a business plan at the beginning of the year. I take each business source solely if that was the only thing I could make a living at that year.
Yeah.
Would I be doing it better, differently, deeper? Yes. Yeah. If that's the way to pay the bills and I wasn't allowed to do anything else but open houses, you bet your bottom dollar you'd be doing them a lot differently.
Yeah.
Well, it should be a business source of agent referral. So I think it's going to revamp a lot of business planning for agents that are in those areas that see a lot of in and out.
Well, and Gary and I both we both believe in this so passionately. We both have some other little things we're working on with this. So we both take this very seriously and recognize the importance for our own business, but also, as you say, just wanting to see the agents getting opportunities. I want to see qualified agents and qualified buyers and sellers working together. I want to see more good relationships in it happen. Okay, talk about the business cards. You're going to say what I want to say, which is fine. But I mean, this is one of those things I go.
So, I mean, we are absolutely 100% guilty of, you know, meeting people with the intention of, give me your card, I like you, you know, maybe you write a note, I met them in Orlando or I met them in San Diego or whatever. And, you know, you end up with so many and it's hard. You can't just follow up with everybody and the markets are, you don't even know where the markets are or whatever.
Well, because they don't have their address. Okay,
right.
Let's talk about the standard business card. First of all, sometimes people don't have their address on it. So you may not know the city or even the state they're in.
Right.
And then what's the name of your town actually?
Waltham.
I have no idea where Waltham, Massachusetts is, right? But when you say Boston, of course I know Boston. And okay, so I just want to draw attention to that. You know, even if you have your address, it might be a little town that's well lived in, but nobody knows the name of it.
Right. And there are some things to be said for specialty towns. You know, we have some trophy towns that are very historic that are specialty. Yeah. I don't do a ton of work in, but the business card. You know, when you're handing out a business card to a consumer, it's a different message.
Yeah.
You're driving them to a different thing. When you're handing a card to another agent, I never put Waltham. I put making your referrals feel right at home. You should have a tagline that agents recognize. Hey, they're asking me for a referral in their brain.
Yeah.
And then I put serving Metro West Boston, clearly regional.
Yeah.
And just have just a picture so they recognize you because you're probably meeting them in person. What I don't do anymore is go into a session ahead of time and put 1,000 business cards on the seats in the front rows like all the coaches used to say to do.
Yeah.
I have never gotten a referral from somebody that sat on my card. Okay. I'll leave it there. So that's what they thought about the card, right?
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, there's a visual there, but you know, it you know, 1 inch wide and a mile deep. Be intentive and purposeful about meeting somebody, handing them a card that says what you're doing, where you're covering, and maybe a message on the back that, you know, my message on the latest card is, it could be that you met me in Orlando. You could preprint the cards, right?
Right. That's cheap enough.
That's an old trick. Vista printing's cheap. But on the back of the one, I can't remember the exact verbiage, but basically says, you know, the Boston, Metro West Boston lifestyle is very diverse. We have rural, suburban, urban. We have farmland. And the lifestyles are also very diverse. There's so much to do in Boston. Let me help your client figure out what's best for them and get them into the right property.
Boom.
And bang, that's it. I don't want any, give any more message. And frankly, if I'm the receiver of the message, I don't want any more either. You've told me everything I need to know. You can stop talking now.
You know? Well, right. Well, and they can call you and find out if you're the right person. Again, you may have the opportunity to pass on somebody else in your area if you're not the right one. So which is just further improving your relationship with that other agent. Boom.
And there's a lot of tricks on that too. You could also do the Google heat map of all your sales on a map on the back of the card to show the areas you cover.
Yep. Oh, that's good.
Yep. And that's easy enough to do. Another trick that Alex Camilio, agent in a circle, was kind of helped me with some of the website stuff was, Gary, why don't you put a QR code in the back of the card? Because they'll immediately, you're sinking the hook in, right? They see the card and they say, oh, that's cool. So then they go into your website. Then they see more about you. You've now stood out over the 1,000 other people that have walked up to them and handed them a card. Even to the point where the next time that I print up a new card and I'm going to some place, whether I'm speaking someplace or visiting or whatever, I'm going to do a custom video saying, hey, we just met in Orlando.
Oh, thank you and so do that much. For your QR code. That's awesome.
Wouldn't that blow you away?
Yes, that's a great idea.
God, let's have some fun with this. You know, the beauty of it is we don't fall into the confines of what a consumer business card is always expected to be.
Yeah. Right?
This is for other agents. Have some fun with it. Make yourself more interesting or stand out somehow, and you'll be remembered, and that generates business.
It absolutely does. And why not put that QR code with a video on your consumer business card too? I mean, let's work it. Work it.
Absolutely.
All right, Gary, we have talked about so many terrific things, and I think some really practical ideas and ways people can, like you say, business plan for referrals. Before we go, I want to give you the final word and see if there's anything else that you'd like to share with our agents.
You know, I think that if somebody embraces the idea of making a plan and trying to generate outgoing referrals too, we didn't talk a lot about that, but that's really, really key. That's easier than drawing in incoming to me, is sending out referrals. I try to send out 10 to 12 referrals a year. Mm-hmm. I will ask my database a couple times a year. I will even send them a picture of a new listing down on Cape Cod or New Hampshire that a friend's just listed.
Yep.
And send that out and say, do you know anybody that's thinking about moving to New Hampshire or Cape Cod? A friend of mine just listed this beautiful home. So dangling the carrot, focus on sending out referrals, pays off quicker and is more sure because you have a trusted audience.
Yep.
And to some extent should be more important in your business plan than just attracting outgoing. They're both very important, but that would be how I would leave it. And I don't know whether the agent referrals is going to be offered next year in Orlando. There is talk that maybe they're going to let me run it again, but we'll see. And if not, people can reach out to me. I'm so happy to help anybody kind of work on this and whatever else they need.
Awesome. Thank you. You have been a blessing to the industry. You are a generous sharer of information, and we thank you for that and for the time that you give so much to NAR, Gary. Thank you.
Oh, Monica, thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you. All right. Y'all take some of this wisdom. Go help some clients. All right. Thanks, Gary. We'll sign off here.
Take care, Monica. All the best.
Thanks again to Gary Rogers for sharing his wisdom with us. I am so grateful for all our guests who so generously share their time and their wisdom with agents around the country so that we can all improve our businesses and serve our clients better. Start focusing on those great agents from around the country that you meet, and even in the world, with whom you can refer business and receive business from. Well, maybe you want to go back and listen to the episode on international realtor members to learn more about referring and receiving business internationally. That was just a few months ago in 2021. Have you done your business planning yet for 2022? Maybe you need to add a section about referrals. We have 3 episodes that can help you with your business planning if you still need some help with that or some clarity on how to kind of see it all flesh out. Our recent episode number 63 with Brent Lancaster, and earlier episodes include number 8 with Mark Given and number 9 with Misty Woodford, Trish Myatt, and Barry Owen. Lots of good and different perspectives from people who have been doing it for many years. There's some great nuggets in there and some great practical things as well. We hope you're getting off to a good start this year. We have been planning our lineup for our 2022 episodes to help you learn more good things to improve your business. Also, we don't repeat too many topics. So if you're new to the podcast, I suggest you look back through the older episodes to find topics to listen to in the subjects that you might need for you specifically wherever you are in your business. This is the Center for Realtor Development podcast, and I'm Monica Neubauer. Happy New Year. Have fun as you go out there and sell some houses.
Thanks for listening to the Center for Realtor Development podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you give us a positive rating on iTunes and pass along our podcast web address, crdpodcast.com, to your friends and colleagues. If you have any questions or suggestions for future show topics or ideas about how we can improve, we'd love to hear what you have to say. Just email us at crd@realtors.org. This show is sponsored by the Center for Realtor Development, an online learning platform owned and operated by the National Association of Realtors.